So what I want to do is to cover that. Is I think I already told you, try to install some beacons. I want the other beacon beating, which would cover that. You see what I'm saying? And so I just, I mean, if we've been doing this for 4 or 5 years, it'd be a different story. But we're just beginning.
I think that's the right thought process, is that you would have elders and deacons meeting, and then you would have elders meetings. The elders would handle some of the things that the deacons don't need to be involved with, and then collectively they would handle the wide scope.
Well, that's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
If Jamie goes along, but we haven't talked about this.
Yes.
We have talked about, we need some deacons in our place.
You and I have already used.
Anybody know about Georgia?
She pulled in and then she turned around and left.
Oh, I bet you went to the girls.
Good morning, everyone. The song that we will sing before our prayer in our Bible class is one that's not found in our hymnals. This song title, O Come Let Us Adore Him. Again, we will sing this song, O Come Let Us Adore Him, and then we will have a prayer, and then we'll have our Bible class.
Praise his name forever, Christ the Lord.
Would you bow with me? Almighty, gracious, and merciful God, our Creator and our Father, we're so thankful, Father, for an opportunity that we have to assemble on this first day of the week, this Lord's Day, Father, to recognize you and your Son Jesus and your majesty and your mercy and your love for mankind, your creation. Father, we know that the blessings that you have made available to us abound. Father, greater still are the blessings that we have as your children, those of us who have obeyed that gospel and have that assurance, Father, of eternal life with you through the great gift that Jesus Christ brought to mankind, that death, burial, and resurrection that followed his work, that followed his ministry. Ultimately, Father, ended with him becoming a sacrifice for our sins. Father, we are thankful to be able to wear the name Christian, Father, because we have a Redeemer in Christ that is worthy, that does deserve all of our praise and our honor and our devotion. So, Father, help us to be more diligent in giving that. Help us to honor you with every thought that we have and with our speech and with our actions to just be busy, Father, in your service and in bringing glory and honor in all ways. Father, we're so mindful that we have sin all around us in our world, Father, and at times it can influence us in ways if we're not guarded by the truth, if we're not guarded by the cross of Christ. Help us to remain stronger, to remain fit, Father, for being the people that you expect us to be. Such a strength, Father, that we draw from togetherness, that we draw from being with those that love you, and we pray that we'll be encouragers of one another, that we will lift one another up and help each other through the trials of life. Father, we're mindful of those of our number that can't be with us. Some of our members have been shut in for a long time, and we want to mention some of them by name this morning. Father, we're mindful of Jack and Millie Keen, of Rose Beattie, of Evelyn Belt, of Catherine Wright, of Judy Mayberry. Others of our number, Father, are dealing with more recent occurrences of a physical ailment or different things, and we ask that you would be with them as well. Father, we're mindful of Stacy and the problems that she's struggling with the broken leg, and just help us, Father, to encourage her and help her to keep her name always in our prayers, as we do with all of our members who are struggling. Father, we're mindful of Sandy White and the Blair family and Naomi Simmons and Dustin Jackson and just all of our members that are struggling in different ways. Father, help us to be encouragers. Father, for honest hearts out there that have not yet heard the truth or have not yet obeyed the truth, help us to give ourselves fully to bringing the message of hope and salvation to them, to desire strongly, Father, for their obedience and to tell people the good news about salvation and hope. Father, we ask that you would be with James as he leads the class here in our auditorium. Be with our other Bible teachers as they lead our young people. Father, we pray that they'll always trust in your truth, to not trust in their own wisdom. And we know that if they do that, then they'll deliver messages that are fitting and good for our understanding. Just help us, Father, to rely on you, to not trust in ourselves, to just be the best examples that we can for others and to follow that perfect example that Christ Jesus set. It's in his holy name we pray. Amen.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
We're still in Acts chapter 22. We talked last week, or the week before, about Paul being, I'm going to use the word, snatched up by the Romans, the centurions, and was being taken to prison. And we talked about that, and then last week we talked about baptism, which we talked about because in verse 16, it says, "And now why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." You know, and prior to that was Paul's recount of his conversion on the road to Damascus. So now that we're down here to 16 and not beyond, it has turned back to where the Paul is about to be beaten. We're talking about also that where the centurion is involved, and now the commander gets involved. So that's what we're going to talk about today. Now, what does it mean to be a Roman citizen in that day and time? Does anybody know?
Had a lot more privilege, that's for sure. You were considered a part of the empire. You had special privileges, like when Paul was considered as a Roman citizen, it meant that he had special care because of it.
Okay, what was it meant to be a non-Roman citizen? Does anybody know that? It's just the opposite of Doug. You had no rights, period. You had no rights. And so that's why Paul was taken, because he was assumed to be just a slave or a non-Roman citizen. And so they snatched him up when they did and started punishing him right off the bat. And that's what they were going to do. So in the Roman citizens were legally protected from being bound, flogged, or beaten under the law at that time. They also had some legal rights. They had a right for a legal trial before they was ever punished. They had the right for a hearing before that trial. They had other things. This is all before they could punish a Roman citizen. Okay? But what did they do? They just snatched him up. They didn't ask. They didn't care. But as we talk today about in these verses, we're going to find out again how scared the centurion was, the soldier, and his boss, how scared they was, because they have taken the rights away from a Roman citizen, okay, by punishing him without even asking. So the reason this is important is because as we go through this, we're going to find out that there is a lot of things that Roman citizens were allowed and not allowed versus a common person or slave. As we all know, most slaves under any rule of any kind really had no rights. Even in our time, back in the, you know, before the Civil War, when America had went out and taken people from their own homes and countries and brought them back here to be slaves. So it's not new, even in close relatively right now. In fact, some of that still goes on today in other parts of the world. People are taken and made into slaves. But we know through the scriptures, through Christ, that is not right by any means to treat a person that way. Let's kind of get into our text today. And I'm going to start with verse 17. Now it happened when I returned to Jerusalem and was praying in the temple that I was in a trance and saw him saying to me, make haste and get out of Jerusalem quickly, for they will not receive your testimony concerning me. 19. So I said, Lord, they know that in every synagogue I am imprisoned, and beat those who believed on you. And when the blood of your martyr Stephen was shed, I also was standing by, consenting to his death and guarding the clothes of those who were killing him. Then he said to them, depart, for I will send you far from here to the Gentiles. You know, does anybody keep account of this? How many times has Christ or the how many times has he been told not to go to Jerusalem? Does anybody know an exact amount? It doesn't matter, but he has been told several times. Now Christ has talked to him in a trance and asked to leave again, and he's going to help him get out.
What isn't he talking about here? Paul's talking about here, right after he became a Christian.
He is.
I'm going to Jerusalem. I'm not leaving Jerusalem.
Okay. But still, he has been told many times not to go to Jerusalem. And he does it anyway. Now, it says here that he admits that he went into the synagogues and imprisoned and beat many of those individuals. Now, remember we talked about Roman citizenship? Did he ask any of those individuals that they were Romans? Not to my knowledge. So he wasn't doing any more or any worse than what was being done to him at the particular time that he had came about just a few verses earlier about them grabbing him up. So, you know, I think this is a good lesson for us to, and this is something I have a hard time doing, but think before you talk. And here it'd be think before you'd make any actions. And, you know, a lot of times we want to get the last word in maybe, or we want to, oh, you're wrong, and we want to make sure we're right. And you know, if we stop and think things through more clearly, I think that we could be more fair to one another and show a humbling atmosphere, when you, especially when you talk to non-Christians or Christians that you're, or people that you're trying to convert to Christianity. I think that's a lesson for all of us. And so right here is just another example of how quickly in Rome things were being done without question. They were just doing it. Because as you can see here in a few verses there in a few minutes, that the Romans that did this didn't question, because they kind of thought they were above the law in first place, because they had a whole lot more privileges than anybody else did.
Well, he was a full Jew. Paul was a full Jew. And so they thought, well, he's a Jew, so he couldn't be a Roman citizen. I mean, that's the assumption that I would think that they made.
That's right. And that's why I'm talking about stopping and thinking and asking. And they didn't do none of that. And as we read this again, because this is really going over some of this again, you can see more clearly to me that what we need to do about stopping and thinking before we actually accuse or before we turn around and speak out of turn. James?
I've heard some statistics before about the percentage of people in the Roman Empire that were slaves, and it's a huge percentage. And there were others in the Roman Empire that were not slaves, but they weren't Romans either. They were lands that were conquered by the Romans. They were allowed to live in the empire and practice their religion and do business and live their lives and whatever. But, if these soldiers are just gambling, right, playing the odds, there's a real good odds that this guy is not a Roman, right? Because such a percentage of the population was not. So, it would have been a natural assumption probably to assume that he was not Roman.
Okay. You said that they had a lot of people that were not Roman and so on, but didn't some of them pay for Roman citizenship?
If they had the wealth to do that, they probably would.
Because if they were taken from other countries, stuff like that, some of them would have had that opportunity if they had enough money, because we're going to find out in just a minute that one of these individuals paid for his citizenship and sent something to Paul. And Paul said, I'm Roman born, So when you think about this that we're talking about today, that's part of history, all right? We can find this in history by just looking. What I don't understand sometimes is how cruel people can be because they have authority. They have a right to do this too. How would any country accept a kind of martyr like that? I mean, not a martyr, but a kind of punishment like that and just downright jerk you up and take you and beat you without any question? It just gives us a lot of thought on how more that we need to be conscious about other people's feelings as far as when we talk to them, and I'm talking about Christianity, and anything else, but, we still have to stand on our principles. I want to make that right, that stand our principles that is given us by God and by Christ on what he has taught us that is good and is what is not good. So I'm not saying we need to compromise on that. I'm just saying that when you start a conversation of arguing with somebody, you don't get very far. Or accusing them of being totally wrong in a conversation. I know we have a lot different in the world today that we talk about. Well, let's talk about the next section. It's called Paul's Roman Citizenship, which we've already laid the groundwork for this. But Paul's citizenship was not paid for. He was born. And we're going to find out more about that. Let's talk about, let's read verse 22 of Acts 22. And they listened to him until this word. And when they raised their voices and said, away with such a few, fellow from the earth, for he was not fit to live. Then, as they cried out and tore off their clothes and threw dust in the air, the commander ordered him to be brought into the barracks and said that he should examine under scourging so that he might know why they shouted so against him. Let's stop there for a second. Now, remember, this is the same crowd that they were talking about. And also, this here, has gone up to the commander, as we talked a little bit. But why did they tear off their clothes? Why did they tear off their garments? It says, then they cried out and tore off their clothes and threw dust in the air.
That was a part of their culture.
That's part of their culture.
Yeah, I mean, they would throw dust in the air if they were sad or if they were angry or something like that. And so I suppose tearing their clothes off, or at least their outer garments maybe, would just show their great displeasure.
It was an outward showing that I'm mad at.
Right.
And remember, in prior chapters where they tore their clothes, they didn't tear them off, but they just tore them because of anguish that they were being afflicted with. You know, and throwing dust in the air, it's like you said. Remember just a few verses earlier, it said that Paul was guarding their clothes back when he was persecuting people? They had tore their clothes off, and he was guarding their clothes. Why would he need to do that? If this might have been also that doing so, that people would take them and then they would be going around, I don't want to use the word embarrassed, but maybe it's against the law or something that back in that time. But it's just funny that Paul standing there guarding his clothes while these individuals' clothes that were, these people were killing Christians. Remember, he just talked about that. And it's just funny that he would be guarding their clothes and now he's all against that. But when we know why. Okay. In verse 24, the commander ordered him to be brought into the barrack and said that he should be examined under scourging so that he might know why they shouted so against him. I have a question. I think it's pretty rhetorical because I think it's pretty evident. Why would it take a scourging to know why they were against him? Why does he need to be beaten so he would know? Part of it was just their custom. Go ahead.
Get the truth out of him. Yeah, they felt that.
That's
right.
To be sure
to get the truth.
They're punishing him to get the truth out of him. They're punishing him interrogation technique, more or less, just an interrogation. Now, I won't go into scourging for everybody this morning, but we have learned that we've had many ministers has described scourging. It is a beating so much on their backs, it brings blood and gashes and opens you up to where it is so painful that people die from it. And they're going to do this just to get some answers out of the guy? Think about that for a second. I have heard that the Roman Empire, in their techniques of punishment and their techniques of, as instance here, at the particular time in Rome, that they were the best at those things about killing people, torturing them, beating them, and, you know, go ahead.
Hasn't our own country done this many, for many, many years? Our own country has treated people like that.
Yes, but I'm saying they were the masters of it. Maybe we learned some of that. I'm not going to say it, but yes, we have done things like that, especially in the early years, because we talk about we live in a civilized world today, and you can see all the stuff still going on, people killing people, people thieving, people murdering, and all kinds, I mean, the list goes on. And
don't you think it's because Satan is still
Satan's
inciting
still here,
these
yeah.
things? He's still here.
Oh, yeah.
It just appalls me to hear some of this stuff on TV still today. You would think that people would not want to harm somebody else out of respect, as what we brought up. Don't do unto others what you do not want done to you. You know, that's a simple concept that all of us can understand, that all of us can put into practice, you know, because if I go beating on somebody, well, don't you come beat on me. You know, that's some people's attitude today. But Georgia, to answer your question a little bit better, is that, in my opinion, that's part of what we're supposed to be doing, is teaching Christianity so people don't want to do that. Get that Satan away from them, to get the importance of loving one another first versus hating everyone because you fill in the blank. There's so many reasons I couldn't stand here and tell you everything that people hate somebody else for. Well, I don't like the way Chris has got her glasses on today. Now, is that a reason? No. But all I'm getting at is something as, there's nothing wrong with your glasses, by the way, Chris. My point is that it's such small things sometimes that set these people off to kill one another. There was an instance this week. There was a gentleman who had been released from prison, jail, and he went over to steal from his neighbor. He just got out for that. They ended up getting in a scuffle and he killed him. He killed his neighbor, because he was thieving from that person. But the person's home, he was at home doing nothing and died from protecting it. Doesn't that prove just right there how much more people are needing Christ? And what I'm getting at is some of the things that's going on today, I believe, is just as bad as what's going on right here. We're not going to reach everybody, but it's our job to try. In verse 25, it says, "And as they bound him with tongs, Paul said to the centurion who stood by, 'It was unlawful for you to scourge a man who is a Roman and uncondemned.'" Remember what we started out with? Paul's telling this guy, I thought he had told him once, but he's telling this man that he's a Roman citizen. He's only been accused. He has not been before a trial. He's not been proven that he has done anything wrong. He's not been sentenced for doing something wrong. He was picked up and they were going to torture him. Now, we're talking about that he was bound in chains to be taken to this individual place here. It also talks here about tongs. Does anybody know anything about the tongs?
It's thongs, like leather thongs that they would use, like ropes. And if they got wet, then it shrunk also. That's another thing to think about.
Yeah, it could be. But what they were used for was to stretching his body. They bound him not with chains now, but it could have been with leather. If you remember right, that if you wet leather, bind it up real tight, and as it dries, it pulls on you and pulls on you and will pull because it shrinks back.
Well, they were probably stretching.
That could be too. I'm just giving you one form, yeah. They were probably, as you see in some of these old movies where they're actually using a crank and
polling. But it doesn't matter. It was, the point was, he was being tortured. And then, you know, as we talked earlier also about the scourging could kill him just by doing that. You know, everybody's got a different pain level. Everybody's a little different, which it means, maybe means nothing about the pain, but as much as the affliction that has been put on you to where your body cannot stand it anymore. But he was being restrained, and it could have been just as where they were tying him up to scourge him. Yeah. It was still has to do with abuse. That's what we really need to realize. It's the abuse that he was being, that was coming to him. And down there under verse 25, it says, is it lawful for you to scourge a man who is a Roman and uncondemned? We haven't read the next verse, but he's questioning. Remember what we start out with? He's questioning him. And so this man has probably stopped to understand or to actually think about what's being said here. Now, in 26, when the centurion heard that, he went and told the commander, saying, take care what you do, for this man is a Roman. Here's a question. Paul only mentioned it. Where's his proof?
And he checked his driver's license.
Where's his proof? Well, of what I've read, he didn't have to have any proof. All he had to do is mention it. They Romans had more authority by not being punished than anybody else. And think about this. How much trouble would someone might get into? This is hypothetical. If they say they're a Roman and they find out later they're not, it would probably be more severe, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Well, the Roman guys would be called down on the carpet too for inflicting harm to a Roman citizen.
They were, but at least they were under a trial or investigation. But if you're not a Roman citizen, it didn't matter.
I wouldn't want to be in either position.
Not under the Roman rule, I wouldn't either. I think that would be a very, very tough line.
Like when they were in jail and the jail cell opened up and they left, that one jailer was afraid for his life because if they lose a prisoner, they have to pay if they pay for it with his life.
But I don't think all centurions, which were soldiers, were
under
Roman.
Yeah.
But with that being said, I don't think it mattered. I think under their law, you were responsible and the penalty is death. So it would make no difference there, right?
Yeah, you could get in dire straits pretty quick.
Yes. You know, I'm trying to get everybody to realize what a different world was right then that Paul was living in, teaching Christianity, and turn around and is being punished just for some words he spoke. That is another reason I'm glad we live here. We can go unconditionally speaking about Christ without any kind of punishment. If you remember several weeks ago, maybe a couple months or so, that I had told you that I believe it's in Korea, if you even found with the Bible or talking Christianity, you could be put to death. They could snatch you up and take you. Doesn't matter to them about that person's life. you have something to say, Jane? Okay, well, I thought you was thinking about something, and I thought you wanted to add something. So we're really fortunate that we can spread the gospel without any kind of punishment. Now, and let's talk about 27 here, verse 27. Then the commander came and said to him, "Tell him, are you a Roman?" And he said, "Yes." 28. The commander answered, "With a large sum, I obtained this citizenship." And Paul said, "But I was born a citizen." Remember we talked about that? This commander, which was one of the Roman leaders of the centurion guard, bought his citizenship probably because, like James said, he was probably maybe somewhere that the Roman Empire had invaded, but now he is established himself high enough to where he's in command of so many soldiers, or maybe just the barracks or whatever. But he bought his citizenship. But Paul said, "I was born." I don't know. I didn't get that research, but I don't know how much weight they put on a citizen that was born versus bought. I would almost say that it tips the scales a little bit, that if you were born, you had just a little bit more, we'll kind of call it say-so. Here's what I found interesting in the, I'm just going to share it with you, in the commentary. It says, Paul's word was all that was required, for it was a capital offense to plead Roman citizenship if it was not true, and therefore listed, did not need any documents. That was the commander. Which, if he had required it, no doubt have been available to the public records at Tarsus. So this goes all the way back to where his birthplace is. But remember here that we talked about that, it was a capital offense if you pleaded Roman citizenship and were not a Roman citizen. So if it's a capital offense, that means you were probably put to death over it. So they did take great interest if somebody said that they were once again, Paul did not have to produce anything. I find that very interesting, as Chris had mentioned. I find that interesting that he didn't have to produce a thing. And it's probably due to that rule of capital punishment. Okay. Then immediately, this is verse 29, those who were about to examine him withdrew from, and the commander was also afraid after he found out he was a Roman and because he had been bound. He had bound him, okay? I don't think I have to ask that question, but if we remember when he was first picked up, when he was talking to the crowd, he said he was Roman, and that man stopped right then and said, and listened to what he had to say. He stopped, listened to him. He found out he's just not a regular citizen, he's actually a Roman citizen. And so, you know, this is something that the commander was even scared of, about punishing taking him, bounding him, because he was a Roman citizen. He was probably just as afraid as someone claiming to be a Roman of capital punishment. If this got back to somebody higher up that wanted to pursue it, I'm sure they could have been severely punished. I don't know how that would be, because it doesn't mention that anywhere that I read. But, you know, this Roman citizenship was a very, very strong thing that they valued higher than anybody else.
James, back in chapter 21, they thought Paul was an Egyptian, right?
Right.
They thought he was an Egyptian insurrectionist.
Mm-hmm.
And at that time, Paul said, you know, I'm a Jew from Tarsus in Cilicia. So he could have said at that moment that he was a Roman. He didn't. He chose to identify himself only as a Jew from Tarsus. And he did that because the accusation that was being brought against him was being brought by the Jews. It wasn't being brought by the Roman government. And now it's you know, it's escalated to the point where the, you know, the people are in such an uproar, they've torn their clothes, you know, and they're saying that he's worthy of death. And so the Roman commander figures, you know, we'll just escalate this process, right? We'll go to the next level, we'll whip him and then decide what to do with him.
And get the truth, maybe. Yeah.
Yes. And then that's when Paul brings up the fact that he's Roman. He didn't use that as his first line of defense, but when it came time to actually go through the punishment that they were about to inflict on him, that's when he brought that up.
That's a good point. You know, when you said something about he said he's from Tarsus, there, once again, they probably knew Saul from Tarsus and changed his name to Paul. And therefore, he's telling them who he was. There's a record in Tarsus that who he was. So he was trying to make sure, like you said, that they knew who he was. You know, we have so many things today that we should think about on how we approach people. And I think this here shows us a way that I just talked about a little bit earlier, to not approach somebody, not think badly about them right off the bat. We don't know the background. Think about this. When we try to evangelize, we don't know their background. So we should be just as much caring as possible and show them that we care, so that they can understand that we are being taught through the Word, and this is something you need to be a part of. Think about that for a minute. We just talked about Satan still being in the Roman era of people, and we talk about Satan still in the world today about causing people to do whatever they do to punish their fellow man just because they want to. So if that was the only two groups there is, what group would you want to be in? Wouldn't you want to be in? Because you're going to fear for your life all the time if you're in the other group. But if you're in the Christianity group, it's covered. No matter what happens in our life, if we're a Christian and obeying the Word of God, no matter what happens, we know what we're going to be and where we're going to be. We're going to be with Christ. And, you know, the other way is you're always running in fear, the way I look at it. I hope nobody has any fear about that today. But I tell you what, we're done for today. Verse 30 actually starts the next thought. So we will save that for 2 weeks. And their speaker, 2 weeks we'll start verse 30 and start our next thought. And I hope that you all can read that, because it talks about the Sanhedrin divided, so that we can discuss that. Thank you very much for your kind attention and all your comments.